Speaking of heads of institutions, that's Martin University. Dr. George Miller is the president of Martin, and they got a whole lot of stuff going on at Martin, and he joins me live. Doc, how you doing?
How you doing, Amos?
I'm fine. Your reaction to such a young man having this kind of position of responsibility, you know, there's going to be people saying he's too young. You're going to say, wait a minute, he must be good.
I think age has nothing to do with it. You have to look at the person, their experience, their qualification, and are they ready to do the job? For those of us who are biblical, you know, in the Bible, God called on youngsters to do jobs all the time. So I think age has nothing to do with it.
So what's going on at Martin? The university is going to start and will mark its 36th year as a private nonprofit four-year institution of higher learning next month, because it's July. That means August becomes next month. You've been there now going on over 2 years now. What's going on at Martin?
Well, not quite 2 years, Amos. You're aging me. I've been there a little over 15 months. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot of interesting and nice new exciting things. We just completed our HLC reaccreditation visit, and we're waiting to hear from them. We feel that went quite well. We have some other interesting things. We had a very great commencement program, and we had our first ever baccalaureate service, which was there. We've had a number of new programs. We had a religious emphasis week this past year. And we have a number of exciting things. Are you familiar with diverse issues in higher education?
No. What are diverse issues in higher education?
Diverse issues in higher education is a highly respected publication that deals with, it used to be called Black or Hispanic Issues in Higher Education.
Okay.
Called Diverse Issues in Higher Education. Mm-hmm. And they track things like graduation rates, top degree producers, right, which schools serving minorities, Blacks and Hispanics, right, are doing well. Well, in the July 4th and July 18th issue, Martin University will be in there. Uh-huh. Martin University will be ranked in the top 15 in terms of African Americans receiving a bachelor's degree in philosophy and religion. Go ahead.
Is that one of the when people look at Martin University, what are the university's academic strengths? What are the programs that make this university special? In other words, some universities are good in medicine, others are good in agriculture, others are good in business. What's the specialty at Martin?
Our number one majors in Martin: business, urban ministry, psychology. Although, I would answer your question this way. What makes Martin unique is the tradition, the history, the caring, is our faculty and staff, that our students come there.
Right.
I like to say that Martin University is in the tradition of our HBCUs, where we say that what we are there for, we are an institution of opportunity. We're interested in what you can become. And we believe that everyone deserves an opportunity to have an education, and we open the doors, and we're there to work with you so that you're successful.
When Martin was started, one of its missions was to provide a college education, post-high school education for older adults, adults that were not immediately coming out of high school. Is that still Martin's mission? Is that the majority of students that attend Martin, or are you getting an increasing number of Martin students coming directly out of high school?
That's still part of our mission, but we are getting more and more students coming directly out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is, if you look at the environment and the atmosphere at Martin, a student that has been out of school for 10 years, 15 years, requires the same hands-on applications as a student who come out of school, which we say he may be underprepared.
Right.
So the same types of techniques apply. And we're seeing more and more students in terms of what you consider traditional students attending Martin, especially in light of some of the things that we have instituted in terms of outreach that has happened in IPS and in the state of Indiana.
Are you, of those students, those that come directly out of high school, are you having to do the remediation or are they coming to you college ready?
No. We don't say remediation. Mm-hmm. A student may, for instance, come underprepared in math. Mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean? That means that student requires more time in our math lab, mm-hmm. building up their background, but they have taken the same course. So the teacher has to be more involved. The professors must be more involved.
So you don't hold them back from a regular math or a regular English or language arts course because, yeah, we got to have some remediation.
No. Again, what we're saying is that students come to us underprepared. Mm-hmm. Most of the time through no fault of their own. Mm-hmm. So to say that you have not been exposed to something right. is different than to say that you're incapable of doing it. Mm-hmm. And we never say that. What we're saying is that with the right hands-on, with the right environment, you will be successful. And that is the case with most first-generation students. And Martin does that very well.
We're talking with the president of Martin University, Dr. George Miller, 239-1310, 239-1310, or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. One of the questions is the cost of college. Yes. Where is Martin's cost? In other words, if you were a car and Harvard is a Lamborghini and IU Bloomington or Purdue West Lafayette is a Lexus or a Range Rover, where are you?
If you look at the independent colleges mm-hmm. in the state of Indiana, we are one of the most affordable in terms of tuition and the cost of education.
You're like a compact car in terms of price.
We're like a very, very, very good Toyota mm-hmm. or Chevy.
Okay. Chevy or Toyota.
We rank. I believe we're second in mm-hmm. terms of least expensive in terms of the cost of education.
Is the issue of keeping the tuition cost, the rise in tuition down, is that one of the major things you and the board struggle with?
Yes, the cost of education, yes. But even a bigger concern is the looming out here in terms of the amount of debt mm-hmm. that students accumulate right. leaving school. And this is especially an issue of concern for students coming from low income or students, first generation students, right. Because you come out of school and with a lot of debt, it's hard to catch up, especially in this environment. And if you know Amos, the July 1st, if that's today.
Yeah, that's today. Congress can't decide on the time of day. And so I guess, what is it, the loan rates double, kick up unless they double?
Today, they double. Today.
What were they before? So they were what, 3%?
3%.
And going to 6?
Yes, 6.5.
6.5?
Correct.
Get a house cheaper than that.
Exactly. And if you look at the money being made, mm-hmm. on student loans, they're making, I think the last figure came out, was in the billions. Mm-hmm. I think it's just wrong. And also what's happening with the
now, there's another kind of loan, because everybody talks about student loans, but they got this thing called parent loans, and the Department of Education, I didn't realize this until over the weekend, it was a story in the New York Times, had cracked down on how much debt a parent could get, and that is hurting HBCUs. It's hurting the Spelmans of the world, the Howards of the world. Is that affecting the Martins of the world?
Yes, very much. That's the Parent PLUS loan. Mm-hmm. It affects us a little bit different than it would affect, for instance, Spelman or Howard. Right. But the effect is still the same. what generally happens is that a student will come in, they look at their financial aid, and they may be a little short, and they would go and take out a parent. The parent would come in, take out a parent plus loan to make up the gap to cover the cost of education.
Right.
Well, because of the stricter guidelines, what's going on with the parent plus loan, a lot of first-generation students can no longer afford that.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say that you have two-parent household and you have two or three kids in college and you have a house, you have a car, and your kid needs a few thousand dollars to complete the loan. They say, oh, you have too much debt, so you can't get the loan. Mm. And this is hitting a lot of middle class
folks. 239-1310. Where are we with dealing with concerns that have been made over the years, over the last maybe 3 to 5 years about Martin University and dollars and students who, you know, get – I've always been confused because when I went to school and had my little pittance of a student loan, I never saw any of the money. It got to the college – to the university. I never saw a dime, but they changed some of these rules and the money gets to the student and the student can live off. I missed that back in the day. But there had been concerns at Martin with dollars and payments and students waiting for checks and whatever. Where are we with that?
We have made great progress on that. If you remember, as you said in the past, there were some issues that we had to clean up with the Department of Education. We're just about at the end of that tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Those issues have been cleared up. The Department of Education is very happy, and we're just about out of that tunnel.
Mm-hmm. What steps are in place so you don't go back in that tunnel?
We correct. New personnel.
New, okay.
But seriously, we looked at our processes. Mm-hmm. We put policies and procedures in place that are institutionalized. We have the procedures written down, mm-hmm. and we training our staff, our financial aid staff, our admission staff, so that we understand the rules.
Mm-hmm.
We have our auditors in to go through everything, so we corrected all that. And, of course, it takes time to work through that,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really, really pleased that the personnel over at Martin really pitched in, and we just about have that cleared up.
239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Let's start today with Suzanne. Hi there. Suzanne?
Yes.
You're on the air. Can I help you?
Oh, yes. Dr. Miller.
Good afternoon.
As a Greek, I'm interested in your progress to bring Greeks to the campus.
Oh, yes. Let me talk about that.
You're going fraternities and sororities to campus.
Yes. Are you a Greek?
Yes.
Okay. I won't ask which organization.
Thank you.
But earlier we had all the Greek organizations, the Divine Nine.
Uh-huh.
We had them on campus. We had a program where the students came out, and each organization put on a show. Told a presentation, a mixer. We had food, interactions, and I'm happy to say that come this August, one or two organizations will actually be initiating. Will start. You will see them on campus.
They will have their own chapters.
One will have a chapter, but before you can have a chapter, you have to initiate students here.
Okay.
But we will have. We will have students at Martin in Greek organizations. You will start seeing Greek paraphernalia in our bookstore. So we're making great progress. And this is a very important part of Martin.
Yes.
And life, because in terms of the student and just the whole thing.
All right. That's not his amen corner. That's Donovan Hartwell that also works with Martin University. He's here, so I didn't want you to think there was an echo in the room. I appreciate it, Suzanne. Let me go to Johnny at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. I'm a student over at Martin University, and I just want to say when Miss Freeman was there, she locked out Father Hardin, and And I think now that I know he's passed, but when you came in, we just saw a big difference. So we just want to thank you for reaching out to Father Hardin the way that you did and opening the door back up, because he was the founder of that university, and a lot of us older people came over there because of him. And to see that he had been locked out, it just was touching to see that the door was reopened and allow him back in. And we just want to thank you from the older students over there. We won't talk about our age, but we're a little bit older than most, but that was important to us. Father Hardin was a blessing to a lot of us.
Yes, he was, and thank you. In fact, if you may not be aware, but we named the Gathertorium the Father Hardin Gathertorium, mm-hmm. and we're looking to name something after Sister Jane because she was also a very big part.
How important, you talked about cleanup as it relates to financial accountability. How much other cleanup was there in terms of institutional accountability? The situation with your predecessor and Father Hardin was probably one of the most extreme examples of that.
In terms of, well, we looked at all of our systems, mm-hmm. our whole operations, right. and accountability to all of our constituents, federal regulations, state regulations, every aspect of the university, from our academics, our financials, our audits, that's across the board. And we are paying attention to all of our policies, dealing with everything, so that Martin will be poised and has a great future. And this is just part of it, Amos.
239-1310 this afternoon's name. As you talked about some of the things you're doing with IPS partnerships, what are some of those?
Well, we have the PTO program. If you remember a while back when that program was initiated.
Now, what's PTO? What does that stand
for? I'm getting ready to tell you. Pathways to Opportunity.
Pathways to Opportunity.
Right. If you go here in the state of Indiana, a student can graduate with waivers. Mm-hmm. And if you're a student, you graduate with waivers, sometimes it's very difficult to get into an institution.
Right.
Martin will accept those students. We believe any student who graduates from high school or with the GED that desires a higher education and willing to work, we will work with you.
Let me ask you, are you the only four-year nonprofit institution of higher learning that accepts the general diploma? Because I think every other nonprofit institution of higher learning in this city, whether it's IUPUI, University of Indianapolis, Butler, it's got to be core 40 or above.
Right.
And yes.
We're the only one.
You're the only one. Is that something that a lot of people in the community don't know about?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, just to look at some of the things that Dr. Miller had just stated, the teaching style, a lot of the schools, and let's say we use the term compass test, right? Mm-hmm. That test is to show what you know,
right?
And it's up to the professor and that educational institution to help you move on from there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah, we're the only one that knows the fact that, hey, look, this is a good student. They might have had some areas that could have been from where they grew up at or whatever. But we take that time to push that student forward.
Is that something that, you know, because, again, I think there's some parents and grandparents that think their child or grandchild is getting a high school diploma that will get them in a college, and they don't realize the general doesn't get you much. And then all of a sudden, you know, they find out that that kid can't go to any Indiana school that they thought they were getting ready to go to.
Not only Indiana, it knocks you out of a lot of out-of-state institutions
mm-hmm.
also.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we are. But I want to emphasize again that when you come to Martin, we have the support services there to make sure that you're successful.
239-1310. Let me go back to the phones. And Linda, hi there.
Hello there, Amos Brown, Dr. Miller, and I think I heard Donovan in the background.
Yeah, you heard Donovan in the back. He's trying to stay in the background, but he's here.
I'm sure he is. Yeah. I just graduated from Martin University.
Right. Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much. I am 63 years old, and my word is to the senior citizens in the audience. You know, we have a tendency to think we're too old to learn sometimes. And I just like to say that Martin University creates a system for the individual. They're extremely helpful and supportive as far as your education goes. And they're always available to you, professors. And it's just a wonderful school. I can't say enough good things about it. And I do want to encourage the public to get over there and get enrolled.
Thank you very much. Amos, if I may say something, I would also like to point out that our alumni are responding tremendously, and working with them this past year since I've been in Martin has been wonderful. And the Alumni Association has pledged this year to raise $50,000 to give to Martin University.
Oh.
So,
yeah, I'm on that list.
So I want to not miss an opportunity to say that we appreciate our alumni.
239-1310. 239-1310 is After News with Amos. We are here with the president of Martin University. Oh, tomorrow on the program. Tomorrow. Now, you've heard about immigration. Everybody thinks, you know, the immigration bill is primarily for Hispanics. No. There's African immigrants. Immigrants from Africa and the Caribbean. Immigrants that look like you and me that could be affected by the immigration bill. We will have some African Americans here to talk about immigration, the immigration bill that is slowly moving through the Congress, and why the community should be concerned about it. 239-1310, 239-1310. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more with the president of Martin University, Dr. George Miller, after these. We're back live with Dr. George Miller in our 2 p.m. hour. How do you stay out of debt? We'll talk to Georgette Miller, author, who will try to explain to us how you can, you know, not go into debt, stay out of debt, and all that kind of good stuff. 239-1310. Back to the phones in Sharnan at 23 with Dr. George Miller, president of Martin University. Hi there.
Hi. How are you doing today, Amos?
Fine.
Hi, Mr. Miller. I am actually a student that graduated from Martin. I am alumni. And I am interested in coming back, and I went to fill out the paperwork and everything like that, trying to get back in. And my question is, I graduated from there, and I have to do a 500-word essay, and also I have my transcript have to be mailed. I can't just walk them over from there, even though I graduated from there. And I was wanting to know why all of the extra steps for someone that has graduated from there, and you mentioned, you know, your students are good students, so I was just wanting to know what was the extra.
So you're trying for a master's or a doctorate?
A master's, yes.
All right, so to re-enroll as a master's, why can't she walk her transcript in? Why she need a transcript? She was already there. You should have it in the file.
Well, you know.
And what's the 500-word essay?
It's called a statement of purpose.
Okay.
All right.
Statement of purpose.
Yeah, just basically, you know, letting us know why you want your master's degree and what you plan to do with it. Mm-hmm. But since Ms. Sharon, I think that's your name?
Yes.
Okay. Since we last talked, I think it's about a week ago now, Dr. Miller has asked for all new processes, including me. I actually was promoted from recruiter to interim director. So, Sharon, you're going to come see me, right?
Okay.
And the process is actually simpler now. You won't have to go through all that. But since I got you on the phone, just come see me, and I'll walk you through that step. But it's so simple. Everything will be done by the web. Dr. Miller has said that our process needs to be simpler. It needs to be easy for students.
And, yes, it does. And
it is now. And we are steadily, at this point, working with our internet and getting that process up. And as a graduate student, you're correct. You just graduated from Martin. You should not have to go through all of that. So what I want you to do, Sharon, is I don't know what your schedule is like between now and Wednesday, but I want you to come see me, okay?
Okay. I'll be over to see you tomorrow.
There we go.
There you go. All right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. 239-1310. Yeah, go ahead.
If I can, for those of you that are graduate students, and so I'm a graduate student right now and had to go through that same process, it is very simple. Just hit the website of martin.edu. And as you scroll through the website under admissions, you should be able to grab that information. Mm-hmm. If not, I want you to look for my name on the web, and it is on the web.
Look for Donovan Hartwell's name.
Yep, Donovan Hartwell.
Name you know.
And what I want you to do is go through that process or shoot me an email. And, you know, we encourage you to continue our commit. We're in the committee. I want to say committee. We're in the community
constantly.
So if you see me, stop me, talk to me, and I promise that we'll get it rectified. There's a lot of things that have changed between, I want to say, last Thursday and today. So,
boy, that was quick.
Dr. Miller, don't play.
Wait a minute. Dumb question. How many students?
Right now?
Yeah.
We are about 750.
Yeah.
Because I think when people hear Martin University, they don't have a clue how many students. Is that one of the questions as you get around the community, people ask, well, how many students you really got over there?
One of the things we're doing, we've upgraded our web page. We're getting ready to go to phase two of that. We are getting ready to – we've already started – increasing our marketing in newspapers that go out in the community. So you're going to be getting a lot more information about Martin, what Martin offers, its programs, what's available.
And also in your mail.
In your mail, absolutely. I also like to point out that right now we're open for enrollment. We're taking applications. You want to speak to that, Donna?
Fall enrollment is going on right now. Our recruiters.
Fall enrollment. Open enrollment.
Right. And you know what? I hate to use the term target, but it is. I'm looking for transfer students. I'm looking for everybody. Mm-hmm. Definitely for brand new freshmen. I'm looking for transfer students that are trying to complete in the area of education that they are. Veterans. I'm a veteran of Saudi, and I'm looking for all veterans, especially if you have the VREP. We have a program called V2G and Veterans to Graduation. I want you to give me a call. Hit the website, martin.edu. Stop by the campus. Fall registration is going on now. Transfer students, we're looking for you. Freshmen, we're looking for you. And Amos, something you brought up earlier. GEDs, even part of our pathways to our opportunities, pathways opportunity, if I got that correct. We're looking for every student that is interested in going to college. I want you to give me a call, right? Hit the website. And here's one that we didn't hit. Indianapolis Housing Authority. Mm-hmm. We are in the community 24/7. My recruiters are out right now. Here's one that really surprised me on this weekend. I was actually at a fireworks shop.
It's that time of year. So you're at the fireworks shop. Okay.
And I actually had a chance to touch bases, my recruiters and myself, with at least, this is for 3 days now, at least 30 students a day. Mm-hmm. 30 students a day. And so from now until 4th of July, and even on 4th of July, I'll be working, we're going to be hitting those fireworks stores. We're in the community. I want you to just look out. You can hit our websites. If you have a community event, hit the website, martin.edu. Look for Donovan Hartwell. Send me an email, and I will guarantee one of us will be at your event.
Back to the phones in Jacqueline. Hi there. Jacqueline?
Hello.
You're on the air. Jacqueline?
Hello.
You're on the radio.
Okay. I was just trying to make sure I heard you guys. Yes.
I need you to turn your radio down so I don't hear myself say myself after I say myself in 10 seconds.
Okay.
I can hear you now. What's up?
I was in the last part of my junior year at Martin in 2007. And I had to stop because I lost my transportation as well as lost my job. And so I'm trying to find out if I would have to start over again in early childhood development and would I even be able to go into my senior year and finish.
All right.
Or do I have to start all over?
All right. Did you leave in the middle of the school year in 2007 at the beginning?
I left when school was out for the summer at the end of, I think,
so you, like can, May, so you can, so
you
can, right.
Up your fall, your winter classes.
I got it.
So I left and I just did not come back.
All right. How many, you remember how many credits you had towards your degree?
I think I had 60 and I was just getting ready. I would have been going into my senior year.
sound like, and I'm going to let Dr. Miller say, sound like if you finished your junior year and you don't owe any fees for library books and stuff, seem to me they'd want you to come back. Dr. Miller?
We absolutely want you to come back. What would happen is that you would come in, you would be a returning student.
Correct.
We pull up your transcript. You would get credit for all the courses that you have. We would have a degree program in terms of telling you what you need to complete your degree. We'd be happy to see you again. If you'd like to make that appointment,
do it now.
Do it now.
I wouldn't do it over the phone, but you need to go see Brother Donovan.
Or any one of the admissions counselors. We'd be more than happy to help you.
All right. Is Mr. Bonner still there? Mr. Robert Bonner and Mr. Greenan, are they still there as instructors?
Dr. Greenan, yes.
Yeah, Dr. Greenan is the interim academic vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Bonner's not there any longer?
Yeah, Dr. Bonner's still there.
He is still there?
Yes, mm-hmm. He is.
Okay, I will be very glad to see them again when I do get back.
I look forward to welcoming you back to Martin.
Well, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Y'all have a good day.
You too. Let me go back to the phones. And Bob, hi there. Bob?
Hello.
Bob, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. I've just got one question.
Uh-huh.
Are you planning on adding any new curriculum or majors to your curriculum?
Ah, great question. You adding anything?
Well, we're getting ready to start our new strategic plan. And as part of that, we will be looking at what needs to be added, what needs to be enhanced. I know there are programs that are in high demand. And so to answer your question, we're looking at that, and that will be forthcoming fairly soon as we get ready to start our new strategic plan for the next 5 years.
Okay. Well, I know that'll be a strong draw to get new students in. If they have the flexibility of looking at your programs versus other universities. And so that'll be a good fit for you, if you
one
can.
One of the things I can say about new programs is that we received a PBI grant where we had developed cross-initiative online courses, what we call hybrid courses.
Uh-huh.
And these are new initiatives, and right now they're taking place in the School of Business.
Correct.
And these are new programs where part online, part at the university, and we received a major grant to develop this, and we will be initiating those programs in August. What I would suggest is that go on our website or give us a call and see some of the new things that are happening over there. And again, as I said, when we start our new strategic plan, we will be looking at what's in demand. So make sure your voice is heard, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay.
I appreciate it. 239-1310 got an email. Let me pull this email up. It's a great email. All right, get there. Where? Oh, there we go. Larry asks, why did Martin University end the practice of allowing prospective students the option to audit certain classes?
We did not.
Well, and Larry thinks you did.
Well, I would ask Larry to
be more. Larry, if you're listening, give me another email and give me a little bit more specifics, like when, where, who, how, yeah, what.
That was probably before my time.
this may be one for way back in the day. Let me go back to the phones and Anonymous. Hi there, Anonymous.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Yes, I think my answer was kind of the last two callers probably really answered my question because I then had I was in class and didn't do all my credits and dropped out from the junior year, so it was pretty much
okay. So you need to find you. So you didn't graduate, correct?
No, I didn't.
All right, so you need to know where you stand and what you might need to graduate, correct? Then just, I think they're saying, go on over to the office.
Come see me.
Talk to Donovan.
Donovan probably already knows. We went to school together, so.
All right. Well, then you just
come see me.
Come see him. All right?
All right.
All right. Appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. If When we come back, I want to ask Dr. George Miller, you know, when we had the folks from the Commission for Higher Education here, you know, they were yelling and screaming about graduation rates and what percentage of students graduate in 4 years. And when I come back, I want to ask Dr. George Miller, president of Martin University, given the special nature of Martin and given the types of students it serves, is that an unfair characterization to examine Martin based on a 4-year graduation rate? Don't answer me yet. Think about that during the break. We'll be back with more after these. We're back with Dr. George Miller, and the last couple of callers were individuals who had attended Martin University, were pursuing a degree, left for a while for a variety of reasons, and that, if those were had been counted in the regular graduation rates, they would not have graduated within the 4 or 6 year period.
Correct.
Does a school like Martin get penalized when Teresa Lubbers, who's the head of the Commission for Higher Education, sits in my studio and says, "We got to get the graduation rates up for our colleges in Indiana, and you guys are at near the low end of the totem pole"?
Well, yes, a number of things. Let me give you this. These facts, Amos. Mm-hmm. The graduate in 4 years means that you have to average 15 hours a semester for 4 years, right, for 120-hour programs. Most baccalaureate degrees are 120 hours. The graduate in 6 years means that you need to take at least for 6 years, you need to take about 12 hours. Right. And a lot of our students cannot do that because they work and go to school. Mm-hmm. Now, if we were really serious about reforming that, it goes back again to student aid, student support, how much financial aid. If you have to work and go to school, that means you cannot take 12 hours. You may have to take 9 hours. And so it will take longer to get out
of
school.
Is it also the student using cash flow saying, "Wait a minute, I want to go a little bit of a time, you know, to make it," yeah, you know, so you're balancing it out.
You balance all that out. Yes, you have to make decisions. And even if you're coming right out of high school and you're going to college, they have something called expected family contribution. But a lot of kids coming out of school, if the family cannot make that contribution, you have to work and go to school. So to stay in good academic standards, to keep your grades up, you have to take less hours.
So when Ivy Tech gets hit with the same criticism, mm-hmm, because a lot of Ivy Tech students are the same type of students as Martin University, they've got a valid argument to make.
Somewhat, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, part of that argument is absolutely valid. But there's other factors that go into that you have to look at. If you have to ask yourself that once your students graduate, right, what do they do? Are they graduating in fields that lead to, right, self-fulfillment, mm-hmm, employment, or whatever? But, yes, just to sit there and say, "Oh, you have a graduation rate in 4 years or 6 years," right, that's just 4 years, assuming that your student, the young man, woman, or whatever, can go to school full-time. Mm-hmm. And if you're working and you have a family, you have to take care of your family.
I'm trying to figure out for Indiana University now, how does Oladipo and Zeller, that's not going to help IU's 4-year graduation rate.
No,
because I know they're going to get their degree because coach is going to make sure they get a degree. It's going to take them a little longer. Mm-hmm. Because when you're a millionaire, you can, one, they can afford the cost.
We can have a whole different discussion.
That's a whole different discussion. Let me go to Brenda, 239-1310. Hi there.
Good afternoon, Amos, and
good afternoon,
panel.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, I was a student at Martin University a few summers ago, and when I came in, I was a transfer student from another university, and I took the PLA course, which they told me would give me a lot of advantages for prior learning and things like that. However, after I completed it, although I got the 6 credits for the course, it didn't really amount to the class that I was trying to PLA out of. They only gave me 1 class, and it wasn't worth it. So I entailed went back to the university and did online classes that I had come from. And so I kind of paid for a class that wasn't to my advantage. And I was wondering if your PLA classes are still available, even though I'm not interested in coming back. I had a good experience while I was there. However, it was just this class didn't give me what I was expecting.
Yes, the PLA program is still there. We have revamped it. We have enhanced it. In fact, that's one of our premier programs that we are pushing, because this gives you the opportunity to get credit for life experience.
Yeah.
And so that program is one of the programs that Martin is now enhancing and pushing, and we have a full-time director of that program. Mm-hmm. Mr. Hartwell?
And to add to that, the veterans piece that goes with the PLA.
Now, what's PLA?
Prior learning assessment.
Okay, all right.
And to veterans out there, you qualify for this as well. I'm also the veteran certifying official, so you would come to me, bring me your to DD-214 or the equivalent of. Go ahead.
So does that mean that for our veterans, the things they did while in service, whatever
right.
they did in South Korea or Germany or Afghanistan right. or Iraq, that could count as some courses?
Correct.
Because some of them had some serious experience.
Correct.
Okay. So what does Brenda need to do?
Come over.
Come over and talk. Talk to Donovan.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, now Larry has updated the email information. He says, in the past, Martin allowed students to audit classes at a discount rate. He wished to audit Intro to Spanish on Tuesdays and Thursdays for this summer session, 2013, but was told by a counselor. The counselor said they believed that Martin had discontinued the audit program. The counselor gave him a number to call to verify this information, which he did, but never received a call back.
Dun, 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 dun. I would like Larry to come over and
Donovan going to give me the email. We're going to forward. Yeah. Larry's email over.
It's the first initial of my name, and then Hartwell, HARTWELL. At martin.edu.
Okay. All right. We go forward that over here so we can get this and we get that squared away. 239-1310. Back to the phones. And Joan. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. How are you, David?
Fine. What's up?
Hey, listen, I was wondering, did I hear that you all offer the GED program? Then you can go into the college courses?
No. We accept the GED
right.
high school group, right? Now, we will refer you to where you can
correct.
Take the test and get your GED. Yes, we will help you get into a GED program.
Okay. That was my question. Basically, I have a granddaughter that wanted to get up to go to college, but she needs to get a GED. So I thought maybe you all had a program where you could do both. You could start your GED as you take your college courses, something like that.
Right. It used to be a program like that, but the government actually stopped that last July.
Oh, okay.
Among the cuts.
Oh, they're no fun. Speaking of that, you answered earlier the word online courses came up. A lot of universities now are moving that direction. What's Martin doing, if anything?
So are we.
Yeah, so are we. I said we received a grant, a PBI grant from the Department of Education, where we'll have five online courses, but we call them online. We call them hybrid online.
Mm-hmm.
The entire course is not online because we still feel that you must have some interaction with your professors. So that's why we call it hybrid.
Okay.
Take part of course online, and part of it you will have to have come in regular traditional class.
Back to the phones and Bill. Hi there.
Hey, Amos.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
Dr. Miller.
How you doing?
Two of my most admired educational advocates. I'm just getting on. I was at a meeting with the Deputy Mayor for Education and some other community leaders, a very important meeting about their NEO plan, so I didn't hear it. And this question has been answered, fine. I'm concerned about the fact that one of the critical access inhibitors to post-secondary education is financial aid. And did y'all reference the congressional battle over whether or not the loans are going to be.
Oh yeah, we did that, and okay. the jacking up of the Parent PLUS loans and the government restricting all of that as well. And the only thing we didn't talk about was the restrictions on 21st century scholars and raising the bar on that situation, and the fact that if you don't have a 2.5 GPA in high school, does that hurt individuals that would have qualified at Martin University, President Miller?
Yes. Yeah.
It will, Dr. Miller?
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely going to impact Ivy Tech.
Yes.
That's going to be an impediment to a post-secondary education for a number of kids. I'm glad y'all are focusing
on that. Oh, and Bill Crawford, while I got you here, right quick, your reaction to Dr. Louis Farabee, now will be the youngest superintendent ever in the history of IPS.
I'm excited. I hope that the board has made a decision that's going to work in the best interest of the parents and students here in IPS. I facetiously said at the meeting at the National Council for Educating Black Children that I wasn't surprised because his main claim to fame seemed to be cutting budgets.
I will tell you the reaction of the board when they announced it this morning. I have never seen an IPS school board so giddy and happy and positive body language among the seven of them than I saw this morning.
Well, I think, again, give the brother a chance. That's all I can say.
And if you're going in this meeting with the deputy mayor of education that has a secret plan that he doesn't want to share with black media or whatever, you tell him that I said we given the brother a chance and he needs to take his little secret plan and put it back in the safe and put it 6 feet under the ground and let this board and let the brother have a chance.
Well, Amos, at the meeting, Joe Slash, Rod Bohannon, Reverend C.L. Day, Diana Daniels, Mark Russell, former board member Elizabeth Gore, and Kamal, and Brother Muhammad Sadiq, we were all there. And I had to leave the meeting early to come back to work. But we had a good, and they shared the plan with us, and you got it, my brother. I will bring it down to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the deputy mayor ain't don't like hearing that, but I don't care.
Well, speaking
of the mayor's office, we just got emailed a statement. Mayor's a little slow because Dr. Farabee has been the superintendent now for 3 hours. But the mayor says, I congratulate Dr. Louis Farabee on his appointment as the next superintendent of Indianapolis Public Schools. Improving the educational outcome of Indianapolis children is one of the top issues facing our city. My team and I are eager to collaborate with Dr. Farabee and IPS as we work toward this outcome together. That's the statement from the mayor on the hiring of Dr. Louis Farabee. Appreciate it, Bill. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Let me go quickly to Tony. Will be our last caller for the folks with Dr. President of Martin University, Dr. George Miller. Tony?
Hi, I'm Mr. Brown.
Hi.
Hi, Dr. Miller.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You might not remember me, but I was disabled and I was going to Martin.
Uh-huh.
And you guys failed to provide, to live up to my disabled needs and things. As a matter of fact, I called Mr. Brown maybe 3 months ago and explained to him my situation. And as for the counselors, I was told on maybe 12 different occasions, nothing but lies. I got nothing out of Martin. Nothing.
What would you have wanted them to do?
First of all, I would have wanted them to provide for me for my disabled needs so that I was able to go to school in Martin. And Dr. Martin, I believe you remember texting me a couple of times and emailing me and asking me about the problem. And I told you your problem was your counselors who were lying to me and was failing to meet my needs.
Was it a text or an email that you sent Dr. Miller?
Dr. Miller sent me emails, and I sent him emails.
All right, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to hold on, and Chris, the gentleman that you talked to when you called in, if you would give Chris your name and a number where you can be reached during the day, and his staff will get back to you this week.
Dr. Miller, you got kind of quiet. You never answered the question.
No, Amos said, you leave your name and number, and we'll get back.
I think he's trying to remember the conversation.
I understand. Trust me, I really understand, Mr. Miller.
All right. Well, hold on, and they will get back to you, okay? All right. We appreciate that. And if people want more information on Martin, you got the website, which is www.martin.edu.
Correct.
What's the phone number?
543-3243. That's 543-3243.
Wait, slow down now. Come on. You know better than that. 543-543-3243. 543-3243. Dr. George Miller, president of Martin University. Donovan Hartwell, interim director of good stuff.
Yes, sir.
Thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.